RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it on WEEI.
Mike, do you have any updates for us on players?
Yeah. Spillane, Tonga, Landry, Wilson, Booty, Collins, and Williams. They'll be out. Pop and Henderson are questionable.
So Milton Williams is out. Is that what you said? I'm sorry.
I said Williams, yes. Milt Williams, out.
Good morning, everybody. Megan Ottolini here with one of my favorite people in Boston media, Justin Turpin. Ken and Curtis have the day off, so we're going to be hanging out with you until noontime today. Hopefully you're not out there shoveling. Maybe you paid somebody to do that, or you're just putting it off for later, hoping that the snow's going to melt. I don't know if that's the best way to go about it. But that there at the top was Mike Vrabel, and he wasn't naming off cute nicknames for the next round of Santa's reindeers. He was going down the practice report and who's going to be out and the statuses leading up to tomorrow's contest against the Jets, which everybody is just kind of yada-yadding past because it looks like such a dumpy matchup against a terrible team from New York. But I do think that there's a little bit more stakes to this game that we're going to get into, Justin. We're going to jump into the Celtics a little bit later in the show because you and I, we love to talk Celtics.
Yes, we do.
We got to check in with a very interesting conversation that you were in with Jaylen Brown that you touched on a little bit earlier this week. I want to talk about that with you as well as more and more reporting that we're getting on the new owner, Bill Chisholm. Just
Skittles.
Factoids out the wazoo. Skittles is his nickname on the Appalachian Trail. We'll get into all of that. If you want to join us, again, we're hanging out until noon. 617-779-7937 is the number if you want to call us here at WEEI or if you just want to join on the text line. But I start there, just a laundry list of injuries. What was your immediate takeaway when you heard how many guys were ruled out? And then also just somebody like Trevion Henderson, who did practice yesterday, so that's a good sign about him and concussion protocol. But the status of this team going up against the Jets.
I think my first takeaway was this is a lot of injuries considering the playoffs is 3 weeks away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the bigger picture thing. Because I think looking at this game, like, the Jets are just so hopeless. They have an undrafted free agent quarterback starting right now. They don't know if their coach is going to make it through this year. There's just nothing really going on there. So there wasn't really a ton of thoughts in the short term because they're still, what, double-digit favorites. I think it's 13.5 points, and they should cover that. That's just how bad the Jets are. But just more so for the future and the playoffs being so near, having that many guys on the injured list, I mean, you probably look at it, it's like maybe the one seed is a lot more important than people are, you know, looking at it as.
My takeaway hearing this is I saw Ben Volen in the Globe, right? You're so lucky you're getting the Jets. They're maybe the worst team in the NFL, at least a bottom three team, which is true. But this is cause for concern when you are, to your point, Justin, so close to the playoffs. To have Milton Williams not be coming back from IR, I saw some people look at that on Twitter and other places and say, well, yeah, if it wasn't the Jets, he'd be back. Like, they're just giving him an extra week, essentially, of rest because it's the Jets and who cares? Well, the Jets do have a really good offensive line. I'm not saying that there's a real threat of the Patriots losing this game, but I think you probably want Milton Williams to get back in there and get some reps after he's been out for a month plus with the bye week.
Yeah, for all of them. I mean, there's no ramping up for a playoff game. Just the physicality of it is nothing like the regular season. I mean, maybe like the first couple of drives of the Giants game there where they just set the tone immediately and physical from the start. But like, the physicality of the playoffs is just totally different, and you would like them to kind of ramp up for that. You don't want guys being thrown out into a playoff scenario where they haven't played in a couple weeks. So, of course, you want guys like Milton Williams on the field. You want Will Campbell back out there. You want to see these guys kind of ramping up. And, you know, it's hard to come in cold like that when you missed a couple games and just expect to jump right into a playoff scenario and, you know, execute the way that they're expected to. So, yeah, the injuries are an issue. And I think just with this game, yeah, this is a good break for them that you're playing the Jets, who are arguably the worst team in football. Maybe the Titans are up there too, but they're starting to turn around a little bit. So the Jets are probably the worst team. So you are getting a little bit of a break there where you don't have to necessarily worry about this game a ton because of how bad they are. But yeah, you don't want that right up before the playoffs.
There's a fun side to it. Not like, oh, it's fun that so many guys are injured, but there is a fun wrinkle to the end of this season in terms of who you might get to see. We'll get into whether you can expect significant snaps from Efton Chisholm on offense.
That'd be fun.
Something that people have been begging for since training camp. I've been begging for Efton Chisholm. I just want to see. Just the curiosity. And against a team like the Jets, you have the space to do it. You have the opportunity to do it. I think that'll be really fun. But I think that when you look at the possibilities for this team and what needs to go right for them to make it to the AFC Championship game, to win the AFC Championship game, to make it to the Super Bowl, I think the margins are a little thinner than people would like to acknowledge. And one of the things that has been something that they've skirted by for most of the season has been the depth of this team. So we mentioned Efton Chisholm, even in the wide receiver room, like all of a sudden at the end of the season, you have Mac Hollins cropping up on there and he's not going to be out there. Kayshon Booty's not going to be out there. Somebody who had a concussion and honestly has not had a ton of production down the stretch here and is somebody that I think Drake May needs going into the playoffs if he's going to keep having that deep ball and locked as his kind of cheat code that he likes to use. We don't even talk about the wide receiver room as an area that's thin depth-wise, but even that is getting there. And you look at the offensive line, you look at the run defense, what happens in the secondary if Carlton Davis goes out, which he does once a game, seemingly. Do you think that there's any part of this where we should be looking back and saying, why didn't they do more? Why didn't they add anyone at the trade deadline? We're not talking about like going out and getting, you know, a Max Crosby type who sounds very unhappy in Vegas right now, but going out and getting somebody that just will build up a little bit more heft behind your starters.
For sure. People were saying it then. I think the bigger issue too is that they sold off depth pieces at the trade deadline. And I get it. They weren't necessarily great fits, but like, it just felt like this team wasn't in a position to be dealing off depth pieces, that they are just so thin. And that's just where they are in their rebuild. Of course, you're not going to go from being a 3-win team last year. They won 3. The fourth one doesn't count. That last game, they kind of handed to them. So you go
that
from
was
being
the biggest. That win was the biggest loss of all.
Biggest, exactly. Yeah. So we'll count that as a 3-win team last year. You're not going to turn around and feel perfect about your roster top to bottom. And the reality is the sum is greater than the parts for a lot of this team. But some of those parts are teams would beg for them, like Drake May is obviously the top of that. So, yeah, the depth has been a question for them all year. And that's just the reality of where they are in their rebuild. So looking back at the trade deadline, it does feel like a missed opportunity. And maybe they didn't expect to be sitting here, even at the deadline, just be sitting here with 12 wins, a chance to win the AFC East, and they should win the AFC East, and a chance to get the one seed still. Maybe they weren't really looking at that. When the trade deadline came, it's like, all right, like we're playing really well, but how far can we actually take this? You know, maybe they didn't expect this, and they are kind of taking a responsible approach, I guess, where they didn't go all in at the trade deadline, understanding that this is year one of a rebuild. I know people don't really want to say that word, but look at where they were last year. Like, you're not going to turn it around. And the fact that we're already having this conversation, like, hey, they can get to the Super Bowl by doing this, just based off where they were last year, is impressive in itself. So, of course, you want to get greedy. You want to turn it around that quick and get to the postseason, get to the Super Bowl, and ultimately win the thing. That's the goal. But just given where they were, like, this is a multi-year step process, and they're just way ahead of track.
Can I be honest? I'm actually pushing back on the this is year one of the rebuild. First of all, because I've heard that over several years.
We have been doing this for a while. That's correct.
At some point, it's like you're in rebuild purgatory. And so you just have to admit that to yourself. I once wanted to do a story, and I still might do this, but probably not, about how long an average team takes to rebuild in the modern NFL. And really, when you go back and look at teams, this sounds obvious, but when we talk about rebuilds, I think it's important to acknowledge and remember. It's just about the freaking quarterback.
That's true.
That's all it comes down to. I'm sorry, but when you talk about eras of a team, it's rare that you're saying the entire coach era. Like, even when you look at somebody like the Ravens, who have a Harbaugh there the whole time, you talk about, okay, this was the weird Joe Flacco era. That was the Ray Lewis era. So that's a little different, but he was like a, you know, once in a lifetime player. You have now the Lamar Jackson era. And so you talk about it that way. And when I look through and say, okay, a team can only really properly rebuild, and I say that as being somebody who is in the playoffs year after year, or at least considered somebody who should be in the playoffs, if not a total contender, it's when they get their franchise quarterback. So to me, maybe it's not fair because last year was such a mess, but a lot of that was within the Patriots front office and ownership control. I think it's year two of the rebuild. And they are earlier than you would expect them to be because it was so bad last year. But I don't really let ownership or anybody else off the hook by saying, well, that was a mulligan. That doesn't count. That was a one-year rebuild that didn't work. So then they had to start another rebuild. It's like, no, you guys have been rebuilding since Brady left. You thought that you had maybe something in Mac Jones. That wasn't a successful rebuild. Acknowledge it. This is year two of what looks like a successful rebuild.
They did tear it down to the studs over the offseason, though. Obviously, blew up the coaching staff. Really, one of the only holdovers was the quarterback. He had a couple of receivers in there as well.
Hey, don't forget your special teams coordinator.
Your special teams coordinator as well was one of the rare holdovers, and the strength coach, which happened to be Jerod Mayo's brother, which was an interesting one. But just because they tore it down to the studs in the way that they did, bringing in Mike Vrabel, bringing in Josh McDaniels, just completely revamping the coaching staff, hitting on all the free agents the way they did, I think you can look at it as a rebuild just because of how bad last year went. Like, last year was supposed to be, it should be year two, but just last year kind of just was a wash. It doesn't count. Like, you had to blow everything up. And
I think it does, Turt, because you did have the number three pick overall and you chose not to support him. Like, you chose not to go out and get free agents last year that wouldn't support him. You chose to go with a coach that had no head coaching experience. And you knew that you were going to be going after a quarterback in that draft. They told you as much when Robert Kraft sent the letter to ticket holders and was saying, hey, like, check this out. Remember last time we had a pick this high? It was just Drew Bledsoe. Remember that guy? Like, they were dangling it out there. They knew they were going for a quarterback in that draft, which was the right thing. But they chose to set up, you can say, Jerod Mayo. I really think more Drake May last year, to not be successful. So when people say, sorry, we've gone down this tangent, but it's very interesting to me. When you say it's the first year of a rebuild, I'm just done playing that game. We've done it again and again and again. This is a different team, for sure. It's a different coaching staff, and there's a lot that's different. But I do think it comes down to the investment of the franchise quarterback, which is the biggest investment and the most important one that any NFL franchise is going to make.
Yeah, I just look at the pillars, though. Like, the pillars of this team are Drake May and Mike Vrabel. That's why I kind of look at this as their step of the rebuild. I guess it depends on how you look at it. Like, I totally understand, like, last year you get Drake May, so that therefore starts the rebuild process. But he wasn't obviously paired with somebody that he was going to be with long time. I think it was pretty apparent, rather obvious early on, that Jerod Mayo wasn't going to be in this for very long.
In real time, I think a lot of us, I'll say myself included, thought that he would have a second year because the Crafts were so fond of him and knew that they had set it up so poorly.
The team was very bad last year.
But then it was very bad.
And then it completely went off the rails.
Then it got much worse, much worse.
But so, I guess it is depending on how you look at it. Just the way I view it, with these two being the pillars, I think that is the foundation now. So it is the foundation of this. Like, there could be different holdovers and stuff, but like, the foundation is Drake May and Mike Vrabel. And I think that's the biggest part of this season, is that when you're looking at the success that they've had, having the 12 wins, it all starts with those two. And those are the guys, that is the foundation for years to come. And it looks like they have the ability to just raise all tides and, you know, support everyone around him. And I think that's the most important part of this. And that's the most encouraging part, to be honest. Like, you're just looking at it like, why isn't this sustainable? Drake May is 23 years old. You presume he's only going to get better. Mike Vrabel, he just has this persona about him where he's able to get the best out of everybody on the roster. I mean, looking at this team, I know the win total at the beginning of the year was set at like 8 games. And, you know, we knew the schedule was what it was going into the year. But just the way he's been able to get everything, maximize all the talent on this roster, is very impressive.
And that's why, going back to the trade deadline, like, it's not an end-all be-all for fixing injuries. For example, with Will Campbell, you're not going to go out and get another basically starting caliber left tackle to back up Will Campbell. It's hard enough for your team to find a left tackle. That's why you had to go in the draft. Like, I think Vadarian Lowe is probably doing a better job at that position than most people have expected him to do because of the injuries that he had last year and how undependable he was there as a starter last year. That's fine. But I do think that when you go into the end of the season now, and it's going to be difficult for you to, I mean, not impossible, but it's really like a coin flip at very best for you to get the number one seed in the AFC and get the bye, which will address how important that might be for you if you're thinking that you're a Super Bowl contender. I just think you could have done more at the trade deadline, and I said so at the moment. It felt like they, to your point, they sold and then they stood there unnecessarily stood pat. We heard from our friends like Tommy Curran, who said they found the prices very high. Well, they found the prices very high, and then you look around the AFC, and three of the best quarterbacks, quote unquote, best quarterbacks, aren't even going to be in the postseason. So, like, this is the kind of moment where I think, even where the margins are thin, you had a missed opportunity that we all could have called going back weeks ago and saying, this is a shot where you could at least be in the AFC championship. And to say that at least, for what a lot of people consider
The first year of a rebuild,
yeah, is like, it's quite a missed opportunity.
And what makes it more frustrating is they had the assets to go out and improve the team. They chose not to. And maybe that is because they're looking at it with a long-term view, but who knows if the AFC is going to be this open again. I think that's the biggest part of this, is with the AFC this open, you have to capitalize on it. Like, you'd imagine the Chiefs are going to get better, and we'll see how Patrick Mahomes recovers from his injury, but, like, you know, he's been...
He looked pretty happy the other night.
He did. You see him, like, after the Broncos scored, too, he's up there, like, smiling. So we'll see what happens with the Chiefs. Like, it feels like they're going to enter a transitional period here.
Oh,
they
definitely
don't know what's going on with Travis Kelce, all that good stuff. We'll see what happens with the Ravens. Like, Harbaugh could be on his way out. I mean, we'll see what happens with that. And Josh Allen, obviously, is Josh Allen. So just given how open the AFC is...
Joe Burrow, every time he gets in front of a microphone, he's like, get me out of Cincinnati. I know I'm from here, but this is awful.
I'm done.
Like, I didn't think it was going to be this bad year after year.
Yeah, he's having a sad every time he's at the microphone, it seems.
Quick aside, I do think that he, when he talks at the microphone, sounds like somebody who just wants to have his own player empowerment moment and go anywhere but Cincinnati. Or do you think it's that, or do you think it's Andrew Luck style, who was maybe a little bit before your time, but going to hang it up early and say my health and my other passions are more important to me than
I think it's more this. The Andrew Luck route. And people
really
have been talking about this since his first year. I mean, just the amount of hits he's taken. I think he's taken like more sacks and more quarterback hits than Andrew Luck had at this point of his career. Like, this was something people saw coming. And this,
yeah, because they never invest in that offensive line.
They don't invest in anything. They wouldn't even pay people to remove the snow from the
arena.
They
did invest in Ja'Marr Chase.
They did do that, yes. And you kind of have to do that.
Yeah.
Like, if they let Ja'Marr Chase leave, and then you're not going to support Joe Burrow, I mean, that's really, really tough. But yeah, there's so much confusion and there's so much, you know, cloudiness around the AFC moving forward. Like, this was the year to capitalize on it, and it could be next year too. Like, we don't know, but just looking at it for what we know now, like, this was the year to do it, the year to go out and try to win it no matter where you are in your rebuild. And that's what makes the trade deadline even more frustrating. Like, you could have added some depth pieces. You had the assets to do it. They should have went out and did it.
617-779-7937. Are you concerned about these injuries striking the Patriots? 7 guys out for the game against the Jets on Sunday. Others questionable, including running back Travion Henderson, who did practice yesterday, but has been going through concussion protocol, has to get evaluated by an independent doctor now. So we'll see about the guy who scratching a little bit at the offensive rookie of the year. So that's fun side storyline for him. We're going to do Trending with David on the other side right after this. We're going to discuss the possibility of this team going 8-0 on the road as they head down to MetLife Stadium. What it means if they get the number one seed in the AFC, what has to happen for that to happen, what it means if they don't. All that after Trending.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
We're back.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
1,000 Patriots are out for tomorrow's game against the Jets. But it's just the Jets, right? What's at stake with the Jets? It's the Jets. They can barely win. As you said, free agent, nobody, no offense at quarterback. The Jets are not in rebuild purgatory. They're in rebuild hell.
They
are
stuck
the
for a while.
Very bottom. They are in a tough spot. But there actually is quite a bit at stake for your Patriots. And I feel this is important to address because we even just got a text on the text line, 617-779-7937. I missed it there for a second. I had a childhood friend who had a 774 number, and I always almost default to that because it's one of the last numbers that I actually have in my brain that's not in my cell phone. But this text said, hey, guys, that's not true. The Broncos clinched the one seed with a win on Christmas, right?
No, not quite. Actually haven't even clinched the division yet.
To your point, yes. So they haven't clinched the division yet. You have not clinched the division. Buffalo has not clinched the division. There's still a lot up in the air, and the AFC number one seed is certainly up in the air. NBC Sports Boston did a nice little rundown of what's at stake. So between you and the Broncos currently own the tiebreaker because you lost to the Raiders in that it just aged incredibly weird week one game. I remember even the immediate aftermath of that week one loss to the Raiders. Going into that locker room, the guys in that locker room were looking at each other like, how the flip did that team just beat us and beat us so squarely? Like, we are not a bad team. You could see that on their faces. Like, wait, what just happened? Are we not ready for the season? I'm not saying like they were saying that to each other, but it was that kind of like doubt that was just a shock of like, that's not a good Raiders team. And they just kind of handed our butts to us on our own turf. But the Broncos took care of them. So New England lost to the Raiders in week one. Denver beat Vegas twice If Mike Vrabel's club wants the number one seed, both of the following results, very soccer-coded, following results need to happen. The Patriots beat the Jets in Week 17 and the Miami Dolphins in Week 18. The Broncos lose to the Los Angeles Chargers in Week 18. If the Patriots somehow lose to the Jets this Sunday, they'll be out of the running for the number one seed, but a win would put the pressure back on Denver to beat a surging Chargers team that's won 7 of its last 8 games, handed the Broncos one of their 3 losses earlier this season. So there actually is something at stake in this Jets game. I know we want to look at it and say this is an automatic win, but you got to win this game, you got to win against Miami. You have a slew of injuries, and you need the Broncos to falter against the Chargers. Then you get the number one seed in the AFC. Then you get the bye. Then you get Will Campbell to have another week to just rest and eat whatever leftover Bake Miss crap
crush
is out there from
beers
Ann Michael
is around him.
Wonderful. You truly control your destiny in a field where everything else is breaking your way, and. I just look at that and I ask you, Justin Turpin, do you think that that is a realistic possibility at this point?
I think for sure. And for the Patriots, the best path to the Super Bowl is the shortest.
Yes.
That's the best one. So, yeah, you're going all out for the one seed. And just looking at this Sunday's game, to their credit, as much as the schedule has been talked about, they've taken care of business every week. And that's why they're sitting here with 12 wins. Like, they've done a great job with that. And I think the Giants one was very indicative of that. Like, they could have been, it was a late bye week, one of the latest bye weeks in the league, and they could have overlooked that game. It just fired Daboll. They had Kafka in there.
The way they came out for the game.
Right away.
That Patriots team, like, or in that particular spot, it was Monday night, and you're like, ooh, everybody for the 5th time this season, trap game, trap game, trap game.
Yep.
Is it trap game? Is it trap game?
We did that with the Browns.
Trap game. Okay, the Browns do have a good defense.
They have a great defense, but that is a bad football team.
That's why I'm not shaking in my boots about other defenses down the stretch here, I'll just say, looking at the playoffs. But to your point, Patriots come out in that Monday night game, and they're not only... They don't only come out with their hair on fire. They're, like, super aggressive. Like, they want to kill the Giants.
Christian Ellis, like, quite literally almost murdered Jackson Dart.
I mean, it would have been murder-suicide because of the way Jackson Dart plays the game of football.
That's very true, yes.
So I don't put that on Christian Ellis because it was a legal move.
Oh, it was a great hit.
It was a legal hit.
Yeah.
It was a legal hit, as they told us many times after the fact. But to your point, great text here from 413. The Patriots better win this year because their schedule will be brutal next season. It will be very hard to win a minimum of 10 games. Do you think that they're being realistic about this window, what they can do this season, how far they can get, and whether what they can do this season, we're really looking ahead here, is something that they can replicate for next year?
I mean, the window this year is wide open, particularly because the AFC East, or the AFC in general, is wide open. Just looking around, like, you can make a case for any of the playoff teams right now to be the best team in the AFC.
Except for the Jaguars,
who are total frauds. I agree with that. I think they're a product of their division. The Colts have slowed down a little bit. The division's not great. I don't believe in Trevor Lawrence at all. In fact, I think he's the weakest link on that team, and
okay,
he's supposed to be this generational talent.
This brings us to a great point, which we were actually just talking about another quarterback during the break. Who is the least believable quarterback that is remaining in the AFC looking towards the playoffs right now?
Oh, man. I want to say Trevor Lawrence, but he had that big comeback win a couple of years ago. Remember they were down?
Yeah,
they
at
were
halftime.
Down huge, and they came back and won. So I
God,
guess he kind of earned
that, like,
some respect.
3 years ago at this point,
yeah,
though?
3 or 4 years ago. But at least he's done it. Like, looking around, I think it would have to be C.J. Stroud. Like, he
That's
has
your
not
least
been
believable.
Great. That's my least believable, I think. Like, he hasn't shown it in the postseason.
Is it demented?
Hasn't looked great this year.
That I believe in C.J. Stroud more than Bo Nix?
Maybe not. I don't think that's crazy to say. I mean, I think Bo Nix has been better than C.J. Stroud, but in the circumstances, maybe. I don't think that's crazy to say, but I think Stroud would be my answer, and I think I'd put Bo Nix right behind him and then Lawrence right in there as well.
We have a lot of quarterbacks in the AFC alive for the playoffs that have not shown a whole lot in the playoffs, either because they're very young or, like Trevor Lawrence, they just, maybe they're blossoming in year 5. That would
finally
be
putting it together.
Unusual, but that's the reason why I don't really believe in it with Lawrence is, I get it, sometimes it takes guys to year 3. Josh Allen is quite the exception of year 3, he was already starting to look good. Year 4, he was a superstar. Year 4 was his incredible next level breakout year. But I imagine that there's some people who around the league say the same thing about your guy. They look at Drake May and they say, yeah, he's got some fantastic numbers, but he's going up against a historically weak schedule. And what's going to happen when he plays real teams? You saw what Buffalo's defense isn't even very good. And you saw how they were able to really shut down the offense in that second half 2 weeks ago.
And maybe we are overthinking it. Like, Drake May put it together last week with the fourth quarter comeback, but we haven't really seen that. And obviously we haven't seen him in the postseason, so we don't really know what to expect there. It's just what he does week in and week out, the consistency at which he does it at, makes you confident for the postseason. Like, watching him play, there's no reason to believe he can't emulate that in the postseason. Just what he does, it's otherworldly, yes, on paper and the stats and stuff, but he just plays within the game, and all of it just comes so natural to him. And you're seeing him use that escapability and him using his legs and making those off-script plays. Like, that's who he is. It's not like this is some wild run that he's on and this is some uncharacteristic play. Like, that is who he is. That is how he plays the game of football. So it's just so sustainable, it feels like. So I know we're kind of looking at Drake May. It's like, oh, you don't really know what to expect in the postseason. But I don't think he's given you any reason to expect he can't bring it in the postseason just because the way he plays the game, it's so consistent because that's who he is.
I don't think so either. I really think that the major Achilles heel for this team is the depth and the injuries right now. And that's where we started with 7 players out, others questionable, including Travion Henderson. I was surprised that Travion practiced, to be honest. I thought
it's a good sign.
Concussion protocol, you can clear it in 1 week. That's happened many times. It's a good sign, but I also thought, well, that is one guy where he's taken quite a beating. Like, he plays a very physical style.
Yes.
At that position for his size. And I'm thinking, like, maybe that is one guy who I'd say, like, does he need to be out there at MetLife? Does he need to be out there against the Jets? Like, Ramondre can get in there. I don't know. I was a little surprised that he was practicing, but
they are a little thin at running back, though.
Yes.
So maybe that is kind of why they need him. And if I'm not mistaken, he was in a contact jersey at practice, right?
I believe so.
So that's probably tracks well for him playing.
Indicates he's doing well.
Yeah.
And I think beyond just the injuries that are listed, guys are probably banged up. I mean, you even saw when Stephon Diggs, before he got taken into the blue tent Sunday night game, he wasn't gesturing to anything with his head. That was like kind of a weird point of confusion, I think, in that game. His shoulder was all jammed up.
And well, he didn't have shoulder pads on.
Shoulder.
Did you see those? Like, what were those?
Ridiculous.
Like, put on real shoulder pads.
I'm still waiting for the footage of him sneaking out of the back
of
the blue
tent. I
didn't
see this. I heard about it, but I didn't see it. So he just went out the back of the tent?
The sideline reporter, I can't remember who it was, I'm sorry, but the sideline reporter mentioned it because, you know, she's seeing what's happening and she's giving the updates of who's in the blue tent for how long. And she said, yes, Stephon Diggs, he was adamant he didn't hit his head at all, and he snuck out the back of the tent. And
there,
now he's back on the sideline.
There's no footage of that. Like, that
That's
footage
what I'm saying. They have
somewhere.
1,000 cameras on the sidelines.
On top of all the fans.
Not to mention the fans with their phones. How has that not gotten out yet? Like, is somebody holding on to it and
maybe
trying to
Vrabel
sell it?
Is like, we're not letting this out because we could get fined.
Could get fined.
I wouldn't think that comes as a suspension, but they take the blue medical tent very seriously. How much did they fine Dable for going in there and checking on Dart when he was under
that was ridiculous.
Protocol?
They had people going in and out of there like it was, you know, a birthday party.
Yeah.
Like the way that one Jackson Dart situation was.
That was wild. That was a weird time. He knew he was on his way out. It was like, this Jackson Dart, this kid is my only way of keeping my job.
He's like, hey, so wait, what do you guys think? He's still in there? Get him out of there.
Did you see the thing over the week, or I think it was earlier this week, right before Christmas, Jackson Dart was at like a community event and he's like signing autographs and stuff, and there was a Brian Daboll lookalike just like pacing around in a Giants sweatshirt. It looked just like him. It wasn't him, but it looked just like him. And people were like, wow, he just can't get away from him.
That sounds amazing. I have not seen that. I need to take a look at it. There is something else at stake, of course. New England can clinch the division this weekend with a win over the Jets. And this is very, very plausible. This could happen. A Bills loss to the Philadelphia Eagles. So the Philly game is at 4:25 in Buffalo. So once the Patriots beat the Jets at 1 p.m., you want to flip over to Bills Eagles. As long as you get that game. I don't know what's going on.
It's on a Fox, yeah.
We're getting a lot of text messages about whether people can get certain games or not. I don't know about that. It's hard enough when you got stuff on Prime and then you got a game on Netflix. And then there's another game where everybody's like a Toy Story character or a Lego character or a Simpsons character. I don't know. Every week it's something different. But if the Patriots lose to the Jets and Buffalo beats Philly, the Bills will regain first place in the AFC East thanks to a tiebreaker involving record versus AFC opponents. So you have two things at stake with this game. It's the first step towards getting the number one overall seed in the AFC, which, contrary to some texters' beliefs, is still very much a possibility. And you can clinch the division today based on what happens with that Buffalo Eagles game. Do you care at all about clinching the division?
Oh, for sure. Like, that's just such a big step. First of all, you get a home playoff game, which yes. I think is important. Maybe not with this team because they're so good on the road, but having they only lose at home. But having a home playoff game is very important. I just think for what you're trying to sell for this team, like, you're going to go out this year and you want to make this a destination. And I think the head coach and the quarterback definitely make it that way. But if you can look at it and be like, well, they just won the AFC East. Like, Buffalo was supposed to run this thing and
right.
the Patriots just won it. And, like, it could be an enticing move for free agents and guys looking to possibly for new homes, new places in the league to come here and look, be like, look at the success that they just had. They just won the AFC East. They hosted a playoff game. We'll see what happens in the postseason. That's just such a key building block to what they're trying to do and the culture that they're trying to establish that, yeah, winning the division would mean a great deal, I think.
It gives you an air of legitimacy.
For
and
sure.
I know that's something you don't want to hear because you have somebody who is an MVP candidate in Drake May. But around all the bitching and complaining from others about your strength of schedule, and we'll get into it later, even Bill Barnwell had a breakdown of how historically easy your schedule is in the modern NFL. This gives you an air of legitimacy because, to your point, and it's Buffalo. Buffalo was supposed to win the Super Bowl.
For years.
Like, Buffalo is, they've got the greatest player in football in Josh Allen. They can't get over the hump. Everything's breaking their way. And if you win your division over those guys, having beat them head-to-head once, lost to them the second time in a brutal second half, but handled them in the first half, that gives you a real sense of legitimacy in the NFL.
Yeah, I think it's just, it would be huge for them to win the division. And obviously, more importantly, it's a step towards the one seed. Like we said earlier, the best path for this team to the Super Bowl is the shortest, especially with the injuries that they're dealing with. So you can't do that without taking care of business and winning on Sunday, winning the AFC East. So, yeah, I mean, that would just be huge for them.
One thing that's great about this time of year, besides all the presents, all the parties, all the eggnog, which I tried for the first time the other day. We can discuss that on the other side of after this quick break. But the other thing is that there's just football every day. So we are at the point where there's not football every day. Maybe it's the one game a week that the Celtics get to play. And we'll get into the Celtics in the next hour. But after this, pretty big game among the wild card teams today. Chargers see Houston. When you look at the potential wild card matchups that you could see if you remain in the two seed, who are you looking at with a side eye saying, yeah, we got your number? And who are you looking at and saying, don't answer, Justin, this is a tease, we're going to do it on the other side. Who are you looking at and saying, oh, crap, I don't want to see them? And maybe the answer is, oh, crap, I don't want to see them again. We'll talk wild card teams right after this break.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This is WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
Megan Ottolini here with Justin Turpin. We're filling in for Ken and Curtis until noon. Did you have a wonderful Christmas, by the way?
I did. How about you?
It was very good. I had to travel back and forth between D.C. And I drove with my husband because we wanted to bring the dog. I think it's the last time.
Did the dog behave?
I mean, I just felt bad.
Yeah,
we gave her so much Benadryl, and she was just traumatized the entire car ride. It's not the first time she's done it, but it's like, I don't know, man. I don't know what we were thinking. We drove down on the 23rd, and we drove back on the 26th. And I think outside of Thanksgiving, those have to be two of the busiest holidays, or two of the biggest driving days, rather, around holidays. It was not a good scene.
How long is that ride?
So without traffic, we can make it under 7 hours. Which you think, like, that's like right on the fringe, right? Like fringe,
yeah.
Like where you're like, oh, it's right on the edge. Do I wanna go that far? We can make it work.
You go straight through or do like little stops?
We do the way down, we were definitely not mapping it out well. We stopped too many times, in my opinion. I'm also like very competitive because I've done this drive so many times.
Just trying to get there.
I'm trying to get my best time, which is not wise, especially because on the way down, there's always freaking snow in Connecticut. Like for some reason, it doesn't snow any other time of December except for the day on the 23rd when you're driving down south to go to Christmas. And there's snow in Connecticut and everybody drives like a jerk.
Yeah, they forget how to drive.
Well, it's not even forgetting how to drive. It's just everybody's so anxious and aggressive and trying to get to their family stuff or their last minute shopping stuff. And anyway, the way back yesterday, it took us almost 9 hours in all. Yeah, and the way down is similar. Not on the way back. Not on the way back. We got out early enough that we didn't hit the snow. But yeah. And yesterday, New York was a big disappointment to me because usually I'm like, well, Connecticut's going to be the worst part of this trip. New York, you get around the GW Bridge. That's not great. But, you know, once you're over the GW Bridge, you're kind of smooth sailing right into New Jersey or on the other side coming back. You get on the, the Hutchinson Parkway. You're like, all right, this is smooth sailing. Not so fast yesterday. We got like 45 minutes of traffic. It was pretty brutal.
Connecticut's just so long and there's nothing there.
It's
so miserable. Like that's
horses
the worst part of the trip.
And vape shops.
That's it.
That's all of Connecticut.
Which sounds like a great time, but not when
horses
you're driving through.
Horses and vape
through.
Shops.
Yeah.
Those horses be vaping.
Yeah, it sounds great, but when you're driving through, it's just, it's miserable.
We were talking earlier about the current picture in the AFC as the playoffs loom. Just two games left in the regular season. Here's your standings. You got the Broncos with the one seed as we sit here today. Obviously, you have the opportunity to make some ground in that two horse race with the vaping horses.
I see what you did there.
Two horses. then you're the number two spot. It goes Jags, Steelers, Chargers, Bills, Texans. And of course, Texans, Chargers play at 4:30 today. So that has some interesting implications for you. If you remain at the number two seed, you're going to see maybe the Texans, maybe the Chargers, maybe the Bills. I might be crazy because they have to see the Eagles tomorrow, who are an extremely boring but talented team. Does it feel like you're likely to see the Bills in Wild Card Weekend if you stay at the number two spot?
That would be such a miserable draw. But
that
it
would
does
be
seem
so unfair.
It seems like a legitimate possibility. From the percentages I've seen, it seems like it's more likely to see the Texans or the Chargers. But imagine drawing Buffalo with a wild card. That would just be so unfortunate. And I don't think it's a team that they can't beat, but I think the thing is,
no, we've
Bills,
seen them beat them.
Right.
In Sunday Night Football earlier this year.
I do, and they killed them in the first half a couple weeks ago and then just fell. They took a nap, as Vrabel hates to say. They don't like to see the naps. They took a nap. But the thing is with Buffalo, as it pertains to the playoffs, is I think there is something to be said about a team that is there and figures out how to lose, if that makes sense. We saw it with the Celtics for years. Like, you just keep having these shortcomings, and finally you put it all together and realize the mistakes that you're making, because it's different in the playoffs. So I think there is something to be said about that, especially with the Bills, who've just been knocking at the door for so long. And when you're looking at the teams in the AFC playoffs, they by far have the most experience. And I think that championship experience, or lack thereof, and the playoffs experience and falling short, that does mean something. And I think that's what worries me most about the Bills, other than the fact that Josh Allen's the best player in football and that guy is on their roster.
Right. Talking to people who cover the Bills, the sense over there, and people who are very close to the team, is this is not the most talented Bills team that they've covered over the last couple of years, but they've got the best situation. Because Patrick Mahomes is out. Joe Burrow is out. Lamar Jackson, have the Ravens been, the Ravens, I don't think have been completely eliminated, but at 7 and 8, they're in the ninth spot. They're probably out. And then honestly, outside of, in my opinion, outside of Josh Allen and Drake May, the rest of the AFC, the playoff picture is a bunch of fraud quarterbacks. And we touched on this a little bit earlier, but Bo Nix, Trevor Lawrence, zombie Aaron Rodgers
was actually playing kind of well, which actually I didn't expect.
He does it like once out of every three or four games. You have Justin Herbert, who is like every statistical mind's darling, but has never actually won anything. And then you have Josh Allen, who's real, and CJ Stroud, who's a roller coaster. So I like, if I'm looking at this, the only team that I really don't want to see in the seven seed, if you're the Patriots in the two seed, is the Bills.
Yeah.
I think that even though you have won three halves of football against them this season, water will find its level in a playoff game, especially with Josh Allen on the other side. And that's just a guy who, as you saw very recently, takes over the game and wrecks it for you. And the way that your defense is, the run defense, when they have a legitimately good run offense behind Cook on the other side, I think that's too much for you to take with, as you said, like them trying so hard, Josh Allen willing them to break through the boulder, or whatever you want to call it, that they haven't been able to overcome. And now Patrick Mahomes is out of the picture.
And looking, like, I'm not going to pretend like I've listened to every Josh Allen and Sean McDermott press conference over the last couple weeks, but, and I'd imagine they probably don't talk about this publicly, but internally, they definitely know what's at stake here. And they're looking at it, it's like, this is our year. Like, this is the year we should break through. Like, we have the most experience. We have the best player. Like, this should be the year. And if not, like, you could see changes made. Like, I think that has to be the expectation. Like, I don't know. It might be a little too far to say McDermott's coaching for his job, because it seems like that's a guy that they very much respect there. And he has had success as a head coach. But eventually, you're wasting away the prime of one of the best players when you can't get over that hump and you can't win in the postseason. So there's a lot at stake for them this postseason. I think they understand that. So I think Buffalo is the only team that I wouldn't want to see in the AFC. And I get it. Houston has a great defense. The Chargers are a 10-win team. They have a great coach and quarterback, but they've also lost both of their tackles. Their right. quarterback has a broken hand, and he's getting hit a wild amount. So Chargers don't really worry me, neither do the Texans. Like, the Buffalo Bills are the team to beat right now, and the Patriots have shown they can do it, but we'll see.
I agree. As we said earlier, the point is to avoid wild card weekend altogether, because there is a bunch of interesting teams at the bottom. Again, you'll see two of them square off at 4:30 later today. We're going to return to our Patriots talk in a little bit, I promise, because there is a lot more that's interesting around this matchup against the Jets than I think maybe a lot of us are noticing on the surface, because they are such a bad team, and you look so incredibly favored in it. But we had a Celtics win last night, and the Celtics have swept the Pacers during Christmas week, even though they weren't allowed to play on Christmas Day. We're going to get into our Celtics talk, our check-in, everything we've learned recently about the new owner, Bill Chisholm, and his nickname Skittles, where that comes from, right after this quick break. Those horses be vaping.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.